So Much Blood, a thriller serial in six parts, adapted from his book by Simon Brett, starring Francis Matthews as Charles Paris. Part 5, Last Lunch. Actor Charles Paris is presenting a one-man show about Thomas Hood on the fringe of the Edinburgh Festival under the auspices of the Derby University Dramatic Society. He's also investigating the apparently accidental death by stabbing of Willie Mariello. His investigations have led him to accuse Anna Duncan, the student actress with whom he has been having an affair, of murder.
And can I ask who I'm supposed to have murdered?
Willie.
It never occurred to me he was murdered. And how in heaven's name am I supposed to have done it? And why?
You incited Willie to push Leslie down those steps, so that she'd be out of the way and you as her understudy would take over her part.
That's not true. It was Willie's idea.
Oh, yes, in the same way that killing Duncan was Macbeth's idea. Of course, once he'd done it, Willie had a hold over you. You shared a guilty secret. So you had to go back to him and start the affair again. But then he became, as you described it, clinging, inconvenient. So you decided to get rid of him.
And how am I supposed to have done that?
Well, the dummy knives were lying round the kitchen of Coates' garden all the night before the photo call. Would have been easier to switch one of them for the real dagger.
I suppose it would, if I'd been there.
What do you mean?
Well, according to your theory, I would have been spending the night at Willie's place, wouldn't I?
Well, yes, I suppose.
Except that your theory's wrong.
Oh?
I didn't spend that night with Willie. I spent it at the Lawn Market flat.
Well, you would say that.
I was not alone.
Oh.
Who do you think the flat belongs to?
Well, I hadn't thought.
A man called Lester Wainwright. He was the reason I broke up with Willie. I met him out in Nice while I was on holiday before rehearsal started. He has a villa there. We came back to Edinburgh together and he stayed till he had to go back to London on business. That was on the morning of Willie's death. I saw him off at Waverley Station and went straight to the Masonic Hall for rehearsal.
And why should I believe that?
You can check it. Lester works for his father in the city. Wainwright's the merchant bank. Ring him.
Oh, I will. But if this is true, do you know it was only 2 days later that you took up with me?
Aren't you flattered?
Oh, hardly. You only wanted me for what I could do for you.
It wasn't just that.
No, of course not. I'll check with Wainwright.
Do. It's true. Goodbye, Charles. I don't think we'll see a lot of each other now.
No, I don't think we will.
No, I much appreciate your honesty. You understand, Mr. Wainwright, when there's an accidental death, we and the police do have to explore every possibility. So, alibis are, Yes. Well, that's fine. You confirm Miss Duncan's story. No, there'll be no need for us to trouble you further. Yes. Yeah. Well, my name's Detective Inspector McWhirter. That's right. Not at all. Thank you, Mr. Wainwright. Goodbye.
So, Anna may be a whore, but she's not a murderer. Thank you, Detective Inspector McWhirter.
Oh. Ah, Charles.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. There was nobody in the office. I hope you didn't mind my making a phone call.
No. I'll deduct it.
Thanks very much.
Were you looking for me?
Well, yes, I was coming to you in your official company manager capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got my last performance tomorrow. So I'll be leaving Edinburgh fairly soon after. I wanted to talk to you about money.
Ah, yes, money.
Mm.
Well, I certainly had planned to talk to you about money this morning. As you see from the day's worksheet up there.
Well, I can't see anything on the worksheet about money.
No, it doesn't actually come under the heading of money. You're under miscellaneous company problems.
Oh, thank you.
But as you see, that comes after the heading of publicity boost. So will you just excuse me while I finish this letter setting?
Of course.
Printers need it rather urgently. More publicity for Martin's play. It's taking over your lunchtime slot on Monday.
I know.
Another burst of handouts won't do any harm. Got to keep ahead in the publicity game, or no one knows you've got a show on.
No, I know they don't.
Well, it's good that Martin's play's so bloody. All that business with the bomb and the dismembering gives a good peg for publicity. I've changed the byline on the handout from "A disturbing new play by Martin Warburton" to "A macabre and bloody exposition of violence by Martin Warburton." Pity I can only hint at it. Of course, what I'd really like to put is "Martin Warburton who stabbed Willie Mariello to death." That'd really bring the audience in.
Oh, yes.
Still, the police probably haven't finished their investigations yet, so maybe we'll soon get some more publicity.
Wouldn't you say "stabbed to death" makes it sound more like a murder than an accident?
Well, that's just semantics. You can't be too hung up on meaning in the publicity game. It's the impact of the words that counts.
Hmm. You thinking of going into advertising, Brian?
Well, if this civil service job I'm up for doesn't work out, I might well, yes.
You'd be very good at it. You've got exactly the right moral attitude.
Thank you. I think the important thing in any sort of public relations exercise is...
Brian!
Stella.
Listen, darling, I must...
You do know Charles Paris, don't you? Stella Galpin-Lord.
Well, yeah, we've seen each other around, haven't we?
Of course.
Stella's directing Midsummer Night's Dream.
I know. How's he going?
Oh, don't ask. Peas Blossom's had an attack of croup and Bottom's got piles. Brian, darling, I've only just got in. Have there been any phone messages?
No, sorry.
Are you sure?
Positive. I've been in the office all morning.
And you're sure you'd pass on a message if you got one?
Of course.
Oh, well. Look, if anyone does ring, I'll be down at the hall. Get them to ring me there.
All right.
Right, thank you. Well, I must be off.
Sounded urgent.
Boyfriend trouble, I think.
Ah.
Yeah, she's been in and out a dozen times a day recently. I think the young man may not be phoning deliberately.
Young man?
Stella has a bit of a reputation for cradle snatching.
Does she?
Yeah, she's rather a desperate lady. Goes after anything in trousers. Also, rumour in the drama department has it. Hence all the makeup, the blonded hair, and those clothes. Mutton dressed as lamb.
Ah, yeah.
Frantic to cram in as many lovers as possible before it's too late, they say. Happens to people of that age.
So I've heard.
Oh, yes, she's been putting in overtime up here. Got a flat somewhere up Morningside way and has lured a good few of the male students up there. If the gossip's anything to go by. Damn, the G hasn't come out.
You don't know who?
Who?
Which student? I mean, which members of Dudge she's had a fling with?
Ah, well, no. Better not mention names, eh? Apparently this guy who's not ringing her up at the moment is some young actor. She's getting very uptight about it. As you see, she keeps almost accusing me of lying, not passing on messages. As if I'd do that. I do pride myself on my efficiency, you know.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's a thought. There were a couple of messages for you. Someone called Francis rang. Does that mean anything?
Ah, yeah, my wife.
Oh, I didn't know you were... Anyway, she said if you wanted to make contact, you can get her on this number.
Right, thanks. What was the other one?
James Milne. You know, the laird. Said if I saw you, could I ask you to drop in on him? Wants to have a word about something.
Oh, fine. Yes, I will. Brian, you seem to have finished your letter setting.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad, does it? Really gory. That should bring them in.
So, if you have finished, could we talk about money now?
Money?
For the show. You know, for so much comic, so much blood. Mm. I have not been doing it just for love, you know.
No, of course not. Well, now, our agreement was, I think, that you would receive 50% of box office receipts.
Yes.
Less, of course, publicity costs and exploitation.
Oh, I don't remember agreeing to that.
Well, it was in the contract.
But I never got a contract.
Oh, dear, the posts are terrible these days, aren't they? So, less publicity costs, that'll mean...
Oh, well, at least I'm not going to lose much on that. The show didn't get any publicity.
Charles, the fact that very little of the publicity succeeded doesn't mean we didn't spend money on it.
Oh.
You've got the figures here. You can't argue with figures, can you?
Well...
Now, as you see, I'm afraid the box office receipts have been a little disappointing. You know, what with the show being on at lunchtime and with Thomas Hood being perhaps a slightly old-fashioned...
Oh, hello, Stella. Mind if I join you?
No, of course not, darling.
Oh, can I get you a drink?
I've just got one, thank you.
Good. Well... Next round, eh? Cheers.
Cheers.
Isn't it strange being up here with all these students?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, for people of our age.
They seem strange for people of your age.
Oh, yes, yes, sorry.
Anyway, teaching in the drama department, I'm used to mixing with the young.
Yeah, of course. No, perhaps what I meant about being strange was suddenly having a violent death in the middle of everything. Willie Mariello.
Yes. It's tragic, but tragic.
Mm. You know, I find when something like that happens, There's always a sort of fascination about why.
Why? But we all know it was an accident.
Oh, of course, yes. But I find I'm interested in the build-up to the accident. Do you know I've been piecing together what Willie actually did in the few days before his death?
Oh, yes.
Well, so far, all I've found out is that he did a bit of rehearsing, a bit of decorating at his new house in Meadow Lane, and that he slept with a woman other than his wife.
So, what are you saying?
Well, just that I have a fairly shrewd idea about who that woman was.
All right. So what? Who do you think you are, the bloody Edinburgh Watch Committee? If two people are attracted to each other and want to sleep together, what bloody business is it of yours?
Oh, no, none at all. It's just, as I say, when someone's died, every detail of their life becomes interesting.
I don't see why. Well, next you'll be saying something about the age difference between Willie and me.
Oh, no, not at all. No, I don't think it... No. Can I ask how long your affair went on?
It wasn't an affair. Just a little fling. We met here in this pub on the Saturday night, and I went back to Meadow Lane with him. That one night, that was all. I believe in love on impulse, you see.
Mm.
I'm a creature of impulse. I don't believe one should be tied.
No, of course not. And you didn't feel resentment that Willie didn't want to see you again after that one night?
How do you know? That wasn't how it happened. I was the one who wanted to keep it to just the one night of uncomplicated passion.
Oh, of course. No, I only ask about resentment because... Well, I've heard some people saying that Willie might have been murdered.
What?
It's just conjecture, of course. But I've also heard them saying that suspicion might fall on people who knew him, who couldn't account for their movements the night before he died.
Oh, that's what you've heard, is it?
Mm.
Well, as it happens, I can account for every moment of that night. I was not alone.
Oh?
As I say, I'm a creature of impulse.
Yes. Can I ask who you were sharing your impulse with on that particular night?
One of the young men in the company had become infatuated with me.
I see. Can I ask his name?
Brian Castles.
Brian? Brian Castles? I mean, he and you... You and Brian?
Yes.
Heavens. Well, I'd never have thought of him as... No, I mean all that self-conscious efficiency.
I'm afraid his efficiency doesn't extend into all areas of his life.
Oh, really? But he was with you all that night?
It took all night. But yes, he did spend the entire night at my flat. I'm renting a flat up here, you see, in Morningside, mm-hmm. Most elegant.
Oh.
Perhaps you might care to come back and have a drink with me there, Charles, and I could show you round.
Oh, no, I don't think so, thank you. Very kind of you, but no, thank you.
But surely you don't mean you're going to abandon the case?
I don't know, James. I'm not even sure there ever was a case. I mean, suppose Willie Mariello's death was an accident after all. That's what the police seem to think. That's what everyone else thinks. Well, why shouldn't they be right?
But Charles, your instinct...
I'm afraid my instinct hasn't got a very impressive track record. Anyway, even if the death wasn't an accident, who cares? No one's mourned Willie much. One slob less in the world. What does it matter if he was murdered?
You can't take that attitude.
Well, why not? I'm an actor, not a detective. If I were a detective, I'd have been sacked years ago for incompetence.
When we last spoke, you said you were following a certain line of inquiry.
Well, yes. Yes, I was, and I don't really want to talk about it.
Something personal?
Well, I found it involved someone I knew, and I... Oh, well, it's not very pleasant feeling suspicions like that.
But where were the suspicions leading you?
Nowhere. I mean, they've led anywhere they're going to lead and produced nothing. No, I want to forget about the whole business.
But look, with Martin Warburton wandering round the city in disguise... Surely we ought to be finding out what he's up to.
Yes, I suppose so. I don't know. I'm afraid I just seem to have lost interest.
Oh. And you're leaving Edinburgh after your performance tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, well. I'd better return your complete works of Thomas Hood.
Well, there's no hurry, James. I mean, you could post it, couldn't you?
No, I read a lot of it.
Oh, good. Enjoyable?
Yes, there's some splendid stuff.
Thanks.
I like the plea of the Midsummer Fairies. And the Song of the Shot is good.
Ah, yes.
If hackneyed. So is the Bridge of Sighs.
And did you read The Dream of Eugene Aram?
No. No, I didn't. I'll be sorry to see you go, Charles.
Oh, well. Look, let's meet for a farewell drink tomorrow. What do you say?
Yes, why not?
Down at the pub, by the hall.
Right.
Well, I'll see you there about 11, before my last lunchtime show.
From what you say, I think you're well out of it.
Oh, it's quite a relief to hear someone take that view, Francis.
What do you mean?
Oh, James Milne has been badgering me to continue the investigation.
Mm. What's he like?
Milne? Oh, he's pleasant enough. Former schoolmaster. Came into some money and property and gave up teaching for the life of a, I don't know, literary dilettante?
Lucky devil.
Just sits and reads in his little ivory tower at the top of the house where we're all living.
I must say, I don't envy you that. The communal living. I don't think I could tolerate being a student again.
Well, it's not that bad. I hardly notice it.
Yet another of the great differences between us, Charles.
Hmm?
Like my complete lack of interest in investigating murders.
Oh, I'm coming round to your way of thinking. Detective work is about as rewarding as reading Dickens for the dirty bits.
You look absolutely dead.
Yes.
Not just the booze, is it?
No.
I'm not going to ask the details. Not that I don't want to know. I just think I might regret the question.
Yes.
When we last met, you may remember, we talked about getting back together.
Oh, I remember.
And one of my conditions was no more other women.
Yes. How's the school trip? How are your pupils?
Yeah, revolting. They're meant to be sixth formers. They're meant to be in Edinburgh, assimilating some culture. You wouldn't think it. They spend their days doing their hair and their nights sneaking off to discos. I'll be glad to see the back of them.
And when does that happen?
The minute they're on that train tomorrow morning, I wash my hands of them.
And you are still going to stay up here for a few days?
Yes.
Because when we last met, we did talk about the possibility of spending those few days together.
We did, didn't we?
I mean, with no commitment on either side.
Oh, of course not.
Well, do you still think it's a good idea?
I'm not sure. After 12 years of separation, I've learned to be a little wary of you, Charles.
Oh, yes, but...
Tell you what, Charles. I'll think about it.
Well, there we go. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Cheers, cheers. I think that round has just about mopped up my profits from the show.
I am sorry, Charles, but the theatre's a notoriously unstable business.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, Brian. Full of wildly unstable, passionate people.
What do you mean?
I was just talking to Stella Galpin Lord recently.
I'd better be off, actually.
Look, tell me, Brian.
What?
Why are you wearing a dinner jacket?
I'm front of house manager today.
What, for lunchtime, a dinner jacket?
You have to have standards, Charles.
Yes, of course. See you.
Cheers to the last performance of So Much Comic, So Much Blood.
Oh, thank you.
May it be the best ever.
Thanks again.
Charles, I have to ask you, are you really intending to give up the investigation?
Yes.
I'm sure we shouldn't, you know. I mean, if something else were to happen, we'd feel terrible.
Something else?
Another crime.
What on earth makes you think there's going to be another crime?
Oh, I don't know. It's just... It's Martin. All this disguise business. Why should he dress up to go to Holyrood and the National Portrait Gallery? We can't just leave it. We ought to investigate further.
Well, look into the flat in Nicholson Street, you mean?
Maybe.
Tell you what. Why don't we have a look at Holyrood House instead?
Ah, well...
Go down there this afternoon after the show, see if there's anything there that gives us a lead. What do you say?
Yes.
Drink?
Oh, Martin, I didn't see you there.
No, I'm getting around. Want a drink?
No, I better not have another. Got a show to do.
Mr. Milne?
No, thank you.
Holyrood.
Yes, we're going down there this afternoon. Have you ever been to Holyrood, Martin?
No. No, I haven't.
like to close with one of Hood's most charming short poems. To Minerva from the Greek. My temples throb, my pulses boil, I'm sick of song and ode and ballad. So, Thyrsis, take the midnight oil and pour it on a lobster salad. My brain is dull, my sight is foul, I cannot write a verse or read. Then, Pallas, take away thine owl and let us have a lark instead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Goodbye.
That was really good, Charles.
Oh.
Much better than when I last saw it. That's the thing with a one-man show. And the rhythm gets better every time you do it.
Well, I hope it does, yeah.
It does.
Listen, do you fancy a trip to Holyrood House? I said I'd go down there with Jane.
No, thanks, love. Now I've got rid of those horrible girls, I'm going to treat myself to an afternoon shopping for clothes.
Oh, rather you than me.
I know.
Charles, I'll see you outside.
Well, oh, yes, all right, Jane. I'll just have a tea. I'll be with you. Shall I see you later?
Come round to the guest house when you're free. We could have dinner.
Oh, thanks. I'll see you,
Bye.
Could we clear the hall, please? We're trying to do a lighting rehearsal for Martin's play.
Yes, sure, Brian. I'll be off in a minute. Just need my bag. Where the hell did I put it? It's a blue hold-on. It's a bit shabby.
Well, where did you last have it?
It's all right. Here it is.
Oh, thanks, Martin. Where was it?
You left it in the dressing room.
Hello? Well, thanks very much, Martin. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Charles Paris.
Though the original staircase from Lord Darnley's bedroom down below up to the Queen's room is now hidden by panelling. Remember, all this, the James the Fourth Tower, is the oldest part of Holyrood House. Now, if you would all like to come through here, please.
You know, Charles, I can never come into this part of the building without feeling a little burst of excitement.
Really?
Well, it's changed so little, really. You can still feel the history.
Yeah, sure. I should have left this bag at the hall. It's very heavy.
You're feeling tired after the show.
Well, that... And the booze, yes.
There's not much more. But you can see how a place like this must stir up violent thoughts because of its history.
What?
I mean, for someone like Martin. Someone already obsessed with violence.
Oh, yes.
Could I have your attention now, please? Oh, thanks. We're now in the supper room adjoining Queen Mary's bedroom. This room is the scene of one of the most famous events of Scottish history, the murder of David Rizzio. And he was murdered in this very room. It was a particularly violent crime, and when his body was examined, it was found to have between 50 and 60 dagger wounds. Aye. And this is the very room where it happened. And just there is the very spot where Rizzio died. But I'm afraid there's no use in you looking for bloodstains. You'll only see the brass plaque there. And in fact, it's a different floor. But otherwise, everything else is exactly as it was on that fateful night.
Everything? You mean it's even the same clock?
What clock? There's no clock in this room, sir.
Then what's that ticking?
Ticking? Oh, I don't know.
It seems to be coming from... My God! Your bag, Charles!
What?
Oh, no!
What is it? Could you leave the apartments, please? Ladies and gentlemen, in an orderly fashion.
Oh, my God, it isn't.
Yes, it is, Charles. Martin's trying to kill us all. It's a bomb!
In part 5 of So Much Blood, Francis Matthews was Charles Paris, James Milne, Alan McNaughton, Anna Duncan, Kim Thompson, Francis, Jennifer Hillary, Brian Castles, Hugh Laurie, Martin Warburton, Michael Maloney, Stella Galpin-Lord, Sheila Mitchell, Holyrood House guide, Fraser Carr. So Much Blood was adapted from his book by Simon Brett and produced by Martin Fisher.